words of hate are unwelcome in Pittsburgh. It starts with everyone in this room. And I want to address for a moment some of our political leaders who are here. Ladies and gentlemen, it has to start with you as our leaders.
One day after a man stormed into the Tree of Life synagogue, killing 11 worshipers and injuring six, Pittsburgh Rabbi Jeffrey Myers addressed a crowd of mourners. Before the attack, the gunman, armed with an AR-15 assault rifle, had posted anti-Semitic messages on social media. It has been called the deadliest attack on the Jewish community in U.S. history. And it's not the only place of worship that has experienced such horror.
It seems to break all the rules that you've come to establish. That's not supposed to happen in a synagogue. It's not supposed to happen in a church. It's not supposed to happen in a temple. These are sacred places, sanctuaries.
Over the past few years, there have been a number of deadly shootings at places of worship across the country, some motivated by race or religion, some not. In 2012, six people were killed in a shooting at a Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. A white supremacist shot and killed nine people in a historically black church in Charleston, South Carolina in 2015. And nearly 1 year ago, 26 people were killed in a church in the tiny town of Sutherland Springs, Texas. But temples, mosques, churches, and synagogues are supposed to be, quite literally, sacred spaces, safe places, where worshipers are surrounded by family and community members and where they can be at their most vulnerable. So when that feeling of safety is ripped away, what comes next? The search for a path forward for religious communities after an attack. This is The Takeaway. I have three guests here with me, each one who has experienced an attack at a religious center. Joining us from Kansas is Mindy Corcoran, the president and co-founder of the Faith Always Wins Foundation. In 2014, Mindy lost both her father and her 14-year-old son when a neo-Nazi fired on the Jewish Community Center of Greater Kansas City in Overland Park, Kansas. Pradeep Kalika joins us from Washington, D.C. He's the author of The Gift in Our Wounds and is the eldest son of Satwan Singh Kalika, the president of the Sikh temple in Wisconsin, who was shot dead in 2012 when a gunman attacked the temple. And Deacon Kevin McCormick joins us as well. He's the principal of Zavarian High School in Brooklyn and Roman Catholic deacon for the Diocese of Rockville Center, assigned to Our Lady of Peace Parish in Lynbrook, New York. In 2002, a gunman shot a priest and a woman in the parish where he is currently assigned in Long Island. Mindy, Pradeep, and Kevin, thank you all for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you very much.
I want to start going around hearing how each of you is responding to the shooting on Saturday. Mindy, what are your thoughts there?
My response initially was to write a letter to the Tree of Life Synagogue as a grieving mother and daughter, still 4 years from the shooting. I woke up the next morning with a letter being written in my head, and I sent them a letter giving them some instructions, giving them some direction and some peace and hope and love, hoping that that will help them very quickly. I received thousands of letters after the death that we experienced, and I like to pay it forward. And then last night, I attended a vigil in Kansas City, in the Kansas City area, and it was held at a synagogue, and there were about 3,000 people present offering prayer for everyone in Pittsburgh and for the Jewish faith.
Pradeep, your reaction to the Saturday shootings?
Just heavy heart. And it feels like every time one of these, and I hate to say one of these because it feels like it's happening a much more frequent clip, but when one of these happens, I allow myself a little bit of time to just kind of step back, gather, and just take a breath and really just then move forward. I'm out in D.C. I'm just continuing to work on what we've been working on for the past 6 years, and which is responding to hate crime within the United States, preventing that from happening, and just continue on with the work that we've been doing.
And Kevin, your reaction?
It kind of returns to the roots. You're belonging to a Christian community, Catholic community. The death and resurrection is all part of what we do. And we spend a lot of time often on the good stuff, and we have to remind ourselves that it's in the pain that our faith is truly tested. And it's been a very difficult time for everyone, and it kind of reminds us of the real human experience.
And Kevin, in 2002, a gunman shot a priest and a woman in the parish where you are currently working in Long Island. Tell us about the shock and reaction that faith leaders have when these types of events happen.
It's sort of like it's not true. It's as if this is a nightmare or a dream that you can't wait to wake up from. And then slowly it seeps in, or maybe not so slowly, that the reality is blatant right in front of you. And it seems to break all the rules that you've come to establish. That's not supposed to happen in a synagogue. It's not supposed to happen in a church. It's not supposed to happen in a temple. These are sacred places, sanctuaries. And it sort of like shakes the reality in which you kind of base your whole life in.
I'm curious, Mindy, you lost both your father and your 14-year-old son after a hate crime, a neo-Nazi fired on the Jewish Community Center at Greater Kansas City in Overland Park. When you see this type of violence happening in a place of worship, how do you process that?
I cry. I initially cry. I pray. I pray for God to take everyone to heaven. I pray for the families, and I pray for all the changes that their lives are going to feel going forward. But I initially cry, and I journal. I do a lot of writing.
And Pradeep, your father, as we mentioned, was killed when a gunman attacked the Sikh temple of Wisconsin in 2012. How do you process something like this happening in a place of worship, in a place that's supposed to be sacred?
You try to return that level of sanctuary back to that place, and try not to let the action define your community and define what you're about. I think that's what, you know, when we talk about this, we talk about it within the context of healing, and definitely you have to heal yourself, but there's a level of communal healing that needs to happen as well. When this happened in 2012, we saw faiths of all different communities come together and heal together. And that's going to be what's going to happen going forward.
You know, there was a young lady who was quoted in a news report after the shooting at the synagogue who said she was responding to the thoughts and prayers that are often told after a tragedy like this. And she basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, said, "The place where I go to pray isn't safe anymore." Mindy, when the place that God is supposed to be present in is a place for violence, how do you hold on to your faith in that moment?
Well, God is everywhere. God isn't just in that place. That when a building is built and people are there, they're really there for community. And they may be thinking that that's the only place that they can find God, but they're mistaken. They need to understand. Everyone should understand that God's everywhere.
And Mindy, I'm curious, for those who have lost friends or family members, do you have any advice for them in dealing with what they're dealing with in these upcoming days? I know some of the funerals are starting to begin, if I'm not mistaken, today, and I mentioned the president going down to Pittsburgh.
Yes, it's his responsibility. It's the president's responsibility to be there, and it's the president's responsibility in all years to help people grieve. What I would say to the family members and the people in the community is similar to what I wrote in the letter, is right now you're in a fog. Right now the pain you think that is deep and hurting is going to get deeper. It is a significant sorrow. Your lives are changed forever. And I don't sugarcoat it when I talk to people who lose family members from anything, that it doesn't just take time. It takes effort to push through the grief. From my faith, I pray more. From my faith, I read more scripture. I commune with people who bring me joy. If I have people in my life who don't bring me joy or cause me anxiety or stress, I eliminate them from my life. So you change your perspective on life significantly when something like this happens. So what I would say to them is immediately just let things take place and happen. But in the coming months and a few years, that's when you will see that you're going to be called. Perhaps God will call you to do something and have an action and make something good come from this. And I want those people to listen. That's what we've done. That's what our family has done by creating the foundation we created.
And Pradeep, your advice for families who are dealing with this week and beyond?
Just take refuge into yourselves, your families, your community, the broader community. It's almost a fake it till you make it type of thing, where you're going through the protocol of grieving. You're going through, making arrangements for the details of burial. There's so many logistics that have to happen. What's going to happen is over time, that's going to go away, and sort of the adrenaline of what is happening now, and then the limelight of being in front of cameras and putting on the brave face will leave. And that's when, like Mindy said, like they're going to have to decide, like, who are they? And that question will keep coming up, keep coming up, keep coming up. And it'll ask you to have that inner voice of, no, you're not just a person. You're not a set of characters and a name. You're not your occupation. You're not some label. Who are you inside? And they will have discovered that they were more than they ever thought they were.
Kevin, I want to ask you, I haven't obviously experienced this, but I can imagine that must be a very difficult thing. How give us some tips on how to even process those emotions.
I don't know if I have tips, but I initially have a betrayal of assumptions, and that's where my anger came from. I assumed that a shul would be a place of peace, and it clearly wasn't. Then I have to go back to my roots and say, what is my religion say? What does my tradition say? And I have to go back and realize that this prosperity gospel that's very popular in our country right now, that seems to be what Christianity's cloaked itself in, is a fraud and a lie. Our God is a God who's in the midst of suffering. Our God is on a cross for the Christians. And that has to be reminded that that's the root. It's in the suffering of human experience that we are most vulnerable, that we are most open, and we are most able to really touch what God is about. The minute vengeance replaces forgiveness, we put a wall up. And Pradeep said it perfectly, and Mindy's heart is clear in everything she's saying, the same thing, that we become as monstrous as the shooter if we demand that retribution. It's very difficult, and I have no tips because I struggle with it, but ultimately I have to learn to forgive his actions, to forgive him, if I have any hope to grow.
You know, one more thing I want to add is that the president suggested that this would not have happened had there been armed guards there. I have to ask, Kevin, your response to that?
I find it disgusting and painful even to think of that in the United States of America, the supposed leader of the free world, we need to guard people in houses of worship. It's something out of some horror show. I got to be honest, I can't wrap my head around that at all.
And Pradeep.
I agree with Kevin. I think it's cowardice. The president of the United States right now, and I'm not a liberal or Democrat, I'm pretty moderate, but right now the president of the United States not only has blood at his doorstep, he has blood on his hands. So people are wise to say, you know what, we don't want you here because you're adding to this fuel.
Mindy, your thoughts?
My thoughts on that topic are that let's start before we even discuss armed guards. There were posts on an internet site, a hate site that is supposed to be being watched. And why is that not being watched? Why are people who seemingly should be on a watch list not being taken care of? The shooter in our instance posted several years before he obtained guns, which he wasn't supposed to have. He obtained everything that he needed under no watchful eye, and he should have been watched. He posted on the internet that he wanted to kill Jews, and nothing was done about it. And then in this instance, this shooter did the same thing. And, you know, why aren't we starting there? We should have the opportunity to go into a place of worship and pray whenever we want to, while other people are espousing hate. They are the ones who need to be watched, not us.
Mindy Corporan is the president of the Faith Always Wins Foundation. Pradeep Kalika is the author of The Gift of Our Wounds. And Deacon Kevin McCormick is the principal of Xaverian High School and a Roman Catholic deacon in Long Island. Mindy, Pradeep, and Kevin, thank you all for sharing your experiences and your thoughts.
What an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.